Greeting to everyone. God bless you for coming. My name is Pastor Sammy Kabiemera, and I am grateful to be here today. Pastor Vicky called me to speak today. We still pray for him, and we know God is faithful. Before we enter to the Word of God, let's bow our head and specifically pray for Pastor Vic, if we could, please. Shall we? Let's all of us pray, if we could, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We glorify your name. We are here, Lord, because of your grace and mercy. And Lord, we are happy to hear your Holy Spirit leading us every day. And Father, we're also happy to hear those wonderful songs of praise and worship. And we believe, Lord, you've accepted those worship time. And Lord, now we are in the time of your word. We pray that you lead us as well. We remember our brother, Pastor Vic. We believe in you, Lord. Nothing is impossible with you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You did it before, and we trust in you to do it again. Heal your servant so he may be in good health and continue to serve you. We thank you, Lord, that you're faithful God. Bless this time and speak to us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our reading today in the book of Romans, where our brother already read it, so we're going to read again. Romans chapter 12. From verse 1 to 8, but I will focus mainly from verse 6. I'll try to preach not as in Africa, because if I do it as in Africa, we're going to maybe finish very quick. Yeah, so let us read again. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. I'll be talking today on the topic which says different roles, but one mission. Different roles, one mission. This is the topic that I'll be speaking about today. You'll bear with me because I have some slide that I'll be showing. And after this, I'll be also showing more slide, couple of slides about the Ebola in Congo. I want to back up this passage as well as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And if we go back there to verse 4:5 to 8, it says we have many parts in one body. Many parts in one body. But all parts do not have the same function. So we, the body of Christ, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. 6 and 8, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, if your gift is prophesy in accordance with your faith, serving, serve, teaching, teach, encouraging, encourage. If it's giving, give generously, leading, do it diligently, and showing mercy to do it cheerfully. So here, the Apostle Paul, the author of this book, the epistle, the letter of Paul to Romans, he was speaking precisely about the gift of the Holy Spirit. But this is not the entire list of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So one would ask, what is the meaning of the gift of the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to teach about this today, but I just want to tell you in brief. The gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit in us believers or children of God, this is how I understand them. I understand them being God giving us the ability, God giving us the ability that we can be able to use those gifts or to walk or to serve him, to serve one another only. I want to stress this. I want to underline this. Only if we are available and allowing God to use us. So which means you can have gift, I can have gift, but if I'm not available, if I'm not allowing God to use me, those gifts will be dormant. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, there are abilities that we have. How beautiful that is. That God has given us abilities to do things, some different from others. That's why we see the list here, which is not the entire list. Paul speaks about many capacities that people have, abilities that people have in the body of Christ in order to build up the body of Christ, in order to build one another, in order to serve God by serving people. So I entitled the topic, as I say, different roles, but one mission. Different roles, one mission. We are body of Christ, and together we participate in his mission. This is very important thing to know, that you and I, we are body of Christ, and we are members of the body, and God has called us as his children to advance his kingdom. That's why Jesus taught the disciples, say, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So it means we are to represent God everywhere we go and serve him by serving people. We are the body of Christ, and together we participate in his mission. Some are called to go. Some are called to give. Some are called to pray. Others are called to send. Some are called to serve. And many are called to do several of those things together. First thing we find here, some are called to go. God calls people to serve him in various ways, and one of it is to go. God calls certain person to leave their familiar environment and take the gospel to different places. That is what Jesus said, and we call it Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye Go ye to the world. Go therefore to the world and make all nations the disciple. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We heard that there are good people who are ready to be baptized. God bless you guys. That is good. So we are called to go and to make nations the disciples. The call is for us, children of God, believers. Go ye to the world. We are to go, the disciple of Jesus. We are called to go. So others are called to give. But to go is important. Why? Because when you go, I always tell people, you need to go, because when you don't go, they are not coming. People in the world are very, they feel comfortable in their position. They feel comfortable in their life living, their way of living, their lifestyle. They can't come. You have to go. I always remember what happened to in the book of Genesis when God saw that Adam has already took a wrong path. God had to come. He came to him. He came to him and said, Adam, where are you? So some have to initiate this, have to go. And Jesus said, go ye to the world. So what we find here is that Paul gives us the example himself. He was a missionary. He used to go. He went. He preached. He planted churches and strengthened believers and also trained the leaders. And we see here Jesus commanding that, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Going may involve missionary work, evangelism, church planting, preaching, teaching, serving, visiting communities, bringing the gospel to people who have never heard it. Paul says in Romans, how will they then believe if no one is going to preach? How will they preach if they are not sent? So going is also one of the important parts of our roles or vision or mission as the church of God. Some I'll have to go so fast, sorry for that. Some are called not to go, but they are called to give. Some are called to give. As we've read here in Romans, there are those who have gifts to give. And if you read in Luke chapter 8, verse 2 to 3, you find here the Bible says there were women who supported Jesus' ministry. They supported Jesus' ministry by supporting Jesus' ministry means they were available to give, to contribute, to help. The Bible says, Joanna, in Luke chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, Joanna, Cusa's wife. Cusa was King Herod's business manager and was in charge of his palace and domestic affair. Susanna and many others who were contributing from their private means to the support of Jesus and his disciple. They supported the work of God. They supported the work of God. Now the question is, they supported who? They supported Jesus and his disciple. Now when you go deep and think, like my African mind, I ask myself, well, Jesus was able even to do miracle. He could create things from zero. He could even call money and money would come. Yeah? He's God. But he didn't want to do that. He wanted people to tap in, people to get involved. So Cusa and other women, they supported the ministry. Oh, that is beautiful that God want to get you and I involved in the building of his kingdom. Oh, praise be the name of God. I hope this is doing this thing is going to help me until the end. So this teaches us that financial and material support can be a legitimate ministry of the kingdom when it is offered willingly and used faithfully. Material, financial, it's part of the ministry. Even though sometimes we don't feel like it's important, but it is important in the body of Christ to support the work of God. It's one among the gift of the Holy Spirit, giving. I pray that we get that anointing of giving, that we feel really strongly anointed to give. Hallelujah. So we see here the ladies, they were supporting the work of God by giving. Back there in Congo, in Uganda, sorry, not Congo. In Uganda, I remember one day we were renting a building and we were using that for church. And then our landlord was so hard on us. And then in the morning, Sunday, he came, he stood by the door and said, "You are not going to enter the church today because you're overdue. You have to pay the rent if you want to use the building." And it was already the time the service to start, and then we were almost late. I told the members to enter, the congregation starts praying, and you know, and then I'm just trying to negotiate, and then negotiating, and then, long story short, a member of the church, a lady, she's now in the state, she was really late, 30 minutes late. You know, in Africa, when you are late to church, you have a problem. So she was late, but that day, that fact of being late was helpful. She came late and said, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you disturbing the pastor? Let him. How much is that? How much is that?" Oh, then she paid, and then we were off hook. So it's important we know that God uses everybody, man, women, everyone. As long as we are available to serve God, He is able to use us. Some are called to give. We find here that they may not have stood in the same place Jesus stood, but their contribution helped make the ministry possible. So they gave to support the work of God. Giving does not make someone less important than the person who goes. Both are serving God's purpose. So sometimes you think, "Well, I'm doing nothing. You know, people tell me whenever I go preach in Richmond and so they say, "You are the one who's going to Africa. We are not doing much." No. Whether I'm the one going, we are going together because you're sending me. So giving is not less than going. It's the same. Giving, going, the same ministry. We are working and serving God together. Some are called to send. Some are called to send. Paul's ministry demonstrates this principle. In Romans chapter 14, verse 15, verse 24, Paul expressed his desire to travel to Spain and hoped that the believers would assist him on his journey. Paul was the one going. But he did not operate as though he was working alone. He depended on the cooperation and assistance of others, other believers. This is the biblical principle of sending. Paul depended on the church support for him to go. So he told them, "I'm going to go, but I depend on you." So if you read the Amplifier version, Romans 15, 24, the Bible says, "I hope to see you in passing through Rome as I go on my intended trip to Spain and to be aided on my journey there by you after I have enjoyed your company for a little while." In 2 Corinthians 1:16, look at this. Look at this wonderful passage. Paul also speaks about his plan to visit the believers and then continue his journey. He said, "And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before that you might have a second benefit." 16. To pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Here we see strongly that others are sending. So he depended on the church of Macedonia to send him so that he can continue with the work of God. Remember, our title, our topic is the role. Different roles, one mission. Different roles, one mission. Only if we are available, we can see their possibility, their opening, their mission, their ministries, their opening doors that we can tap in and serve God through using our abilities or gift that God has put in us. Oh, glory be to God. So, in 2 Corinthians 1, 15, 16, he says this, "It was with confidence that I planned at first to visit you, so that you might receive twice a token of grace. That is, I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and then to come back to you on my return from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea." I love Paul. The way he put it, he has too much confidence to say, "Have you sent me to Macedonia?" You see, this is how beautiful the work of God is. This is how beautiful the calling, the ministry. This is how beautiful when the gift are in operation, when the gift of God that has put in us are active, not dormant. You see the kingdom being built because we work together, children of God work together as the members of the body. Every member is active and the body continues to grow, which is the body of Christ, which is the church. And that's exactly what we are doing here at Mountain View. Working together, serving together, and putting together all the gift together, and the work of God is ongoing and growing. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm number 5, we find here Psalm, a call. Sorry, I think I'm quite. Oh, there we go. Yeah, we always go back, so sorry for that. Psalm, a call to pray. That is another mission or another ministry or another gift, another calling that we have. We call it the grace of praying, intercession, praying to brothers and sisters, seeking God on behalf of others, praying that others would hear the gospel, praying that God will touch people's heart, praying that God will move and transform souls, that God will change lives of people. Praying. You are not going anywhere. You're just in your room. You are talking. You are bombarding the heavenly kingdom. You are praying. You are praying. You are talking to God, and God hears and God answers. Let us clap for God. Hallelujah. Blair, glory be to Jesus. Some are called to pray. Paul repeatedly asked churches to pray for him. Paul, the anointed man of God, the apostle, he's calling the church to pray for him. Brothers, look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 25. Brothers and sisters, do what? Come on, do what? Pray for us. One would think he depended also on his brethren and colleagues' prayer. Brother and sister, never, never, ever despise your praying time. Never despise when you're praying for Pastor Vic, when you're praying for men of God, when you're praying for ministers, when you're praying for sisters and brothers. Those prayers work. They work. They do work. God is listening to those prayers, and he answers them. Prayer is one of the most powerful ways believers participate in God's mission. Paul repeatedly asked churches to pray for him. Prayer is participation in the mission. When we pray for missionaries, pastors, evangelists, church planters, persecuted Christians, and rich communities, refugees, Bible translation, discipleship, and also for salvation, we are participating in the advancement of God's kingdom. Brothers and sisters, never underestimate your time that you invest before God through praying. It's important. It's a great ministry, and God hears and God answers prayers. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Some are called to serve. That's a good one too. To serve. Not every contribution is financial. Some people serve through practical acts of love. They may prepare food, welcome visitors, care for children, teach, organize ministry, provide transportation, distribute clothing. That's exactly what you do. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. And visit the sick, help the poor, encourage leaders, disciple new believers. So you see, that is a service. It's a huge ministry which has various ways you have to tap in and serve God by serving others. In Matthew 25, verse 40, Jesus said, As you did it to one of the least of theirs, my brethren, you did it to me. Here he was talking about, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was naked, you gave me clothes. And the righteous will say, when did we do that? Say, well, when you did for the least, you did to me. That's a service. Kingdom service is not measured only by visibility. God sees the faithful work that people may never see. When you serve God, even in secret, no one knows, but God really sees and sees you. We see here some example, biblical example about serving. You see the example of Elijah and the widow, the provision for God's servant. God had a mission for Elijah, but he also had someone who would participate by providing for him. I pray for you that you would be able to welcome and to serve someone who is coming to serve God, whether in Vancouver. The door is open. You let them come, and then God will bless you. Hallelujah. We see also another example of service. The women who were supporting the ministry, that was serving. That's a service. So we are called to serve God in different gift or way that God has given us. So the application is simple. Many good works are happening because the body of Christ, you and I, we are standing together. Hallelujah. Oh, many good works are happening in the world, in China, in Russia, even in secret. People are being saved because the key is here, the body of Christ is standing together and great things are happening. Now, if you look around the world, missionaries are reaching communities. Churches are being planted. Children are being educated. Refugees are being fed. The sick are being cared for. Leaders are being trained. Bible are being distributed. People are hearing the gospel. Why? Because people know their responsibilities. Children of God understand their responsibility and their calling, their role, and they do it willingly. They are available to serve God this way. I want to show you some clip here just to a missionary is going to Uganda because someone has sent him and community is being reached out. People are hearing the gospel. Refugees are receiving food. Look at this long list. Long line, not list, but long line of people, of young people, orphans coming to get food because you have sent me. I could not have, they know it. Let me tell you this. One day they told us, they said, well, we know you are not rich, Sammy, but we know one thing. You have a heart for us. You have a heart to help us. I say, yeah, I'm not rich, but I have a heart to help. And it's not me. People are behind me, sending me. That's why I'm here. And sometimes they make me laugh. They say, well, we were used to see missionaries who are white. I say, yeah. Now God has sent you another missionary who's black. Hallelujah. So you see, when you send, we go. And when we go, the kingdom is being built. Hallelujah. Orphans, refugees, receiving clothes. How many times you've been sending me with the clothes? Times and times again. And people are being blessed because of accepting the role we have. And we have also leaders have been trained. Those leaders have been trained to know the true gospel, teaching them in their language, Swahili, that they can hear. That Yesu ni Bwana, yeah, they hear that. So we go there, we speak, we teach them, we train them. And those are literacy class where people who do not go to school, they can take time and read and learn from scratch. Wow, this is good. And Bible have been distributed. We give out Bible because people can read the Bible and then they can discover the truth, so that the false teacher, the predators, those people who are false teachers cannot come and deceive them. People are hearing the gospel. Why? Because people are working together to build the body of Christ. Together we can reach where one person cannot reach. We can accomplish what one person cannot accomplish. Yes, and advance the gospel farther than any one of us could have done. Different gift, different role, but different locations, but one body, one Lord, one gospel, one kingdom mission. That is the role that we have. And that's the beauty of Christianity. The beauty of Christianity is here, is that God does not require everyone to have the same assignment. No, you just have to understand what is God is calling me to do. And you can feel it in your heart. You can feel, this is what I feel really happy to do. And you do it willingly from your heart, and boom, you see God using you. That is perfect. The question we are asking today, where am I called to go? Is God calling me to evangelism, missions, discipleship, or another field of service? Number two, what has God given me to give? My finances, my possession, my time, my skills, my knowledge, opportunities. So there are a lot to give. Not only money, there are a lot to give. Number three, who can I pray for? A missionary, a pastor, a church, a family, a community, a ministry? Do I need, who am I going to pray for? Who can I send? Who is doing God's work that I can encourage and send? Where can I serve? What need exists in my church, in my community? What is God calling me to do? So it is important. So, Church of God, we have talked here about the role, different role that God has given us, and God has called us to serve him using those gifts, the availability, the capacity and ability that God has given us, and through the Holy Spirit. And we are totally different. Everyone has different calling, different gift. And when we put together, we see God using us to advance his kingdom. That's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 12, that we have various gifts, but we are to put it in the work to serve God. Oh, glory be to God. Sometimes I feel happy to show you those pictures because you feel like you're in Uganda already. Hallelujah. Yeah. So now let me bring you back as I'm going to close. I want to show you a little bit about the mission and the work which is done in Congo. You know, you always send me to Uganda, but also recently, because of Ebola, God has used us so tremendously in Congo as well. We thank God for that, and that is his grace. So I want to show you a little bit about that, and then we're going to pray. Ebola in Congo, from I think April, May, when I left Uganda, it was end of middle of May, and then 2 weeks after I'm here, I heard there was an outbreak, Ebola outbreak in Bunia. That is my city, Bunia. And man, we lost many people in Bunia. A lot of people. Many people died. And that's an opportunity ministry to serve God by helping people in Congo. You may have heard about it, and maybe you follow the news, but trust me, things are very bad, more than what you can hear from the news. It's hard. It is hard. Why? Because number one, people are not very educated, so to speak, to understand the truth and even to accept the information. And that makes it harder because people think that is not true. There's no Ebola. So they don't accept that there is Ebola. And remember, when someone does not accept that this man or this person or brother is dead because of the Ebola, you know what they're going to go? They jump and touch the body. And they touch the body, and that is how they get contagious. They become contagious, and they spread it all over the village, all over the community. And that's how many, many people died because of that. As per yesterday, I was doing the reading. It said Ebola spreading exponentially in Congo, death toll
topped 2,500 according to UN report. That was yesterday. And it's just going fast. People are dying. So I show you some clips there, some pictures there. You see on the left the lady and the husband, all they die. And on the middle, this is my brother. Same blood, different mother. He died. His wife first died, and then he died, and then his son died. So three people from the same place, same family. And down here you see in the water, those are the pastors. Those two pastors all died. And even the middle in the blue, that is another pastor. He died as well. And the other one is a nurse. He also died. So you see, the situation in Congo is not good. So what did we do? When those things happen, you know, Vicky came to my place when I lost my brother. He came pray with us. And then we said, what are you going to do? What is needed? Then we realized that we can do what we can. We cannot do much. But the only thing we can do is just help them with the supplies. And what is the supplies? We send the supplies, which is sanitizer. We send them the sanitizer, and those sanitizers help them at least to touch it, to keep clean, to keep protected against that virus. So we've been able so far, by God's grace. You can see this boy standing by the door. This is with the mask on his nose. This is Kasana. Maybe you'll remember him. I saw him last time here. Nehemiah Kasana is one of our team member on the field in Uganda. He's a refugee in Uganda, but this Ebola found him in Congo, and he got stranded there. So he's distributing the sanitizer that we've been sending to help people. You see, in different places, we've been able to send the sanitizer by God's grace and help people to stay safe. And they've been giving testimonies that the villages where we distributed the sanitizer, people are safe. We have those great organization, which is a Tear Fund and Samaritan Purse, but they're only evolving in the big city. But we are going now to the village where they are really illiterate and they need help. So you see how this young girl is happy just to receive that sanitizer because it saves life. People are happy to get the sanitizer, and we've been able to send them a couple of times because of the support we've been receiving. I just tried to put those receipts for you to see. We had operation number one, if you see up left, operation number one, which cost us 415, that is US dollars, because that's America, that's Congo. Congo uses American dollar. And operation two, we were able to give 950, that is also American dollar. And operation three, that's last week, we were able to give 1,000. And we are willing to do the fourth operation. That's, we're just going to do four, and that's it. We don't want to continue to do more because of financial limitation. And operation four, that's when we are extending our hand to say, hey, let's save someone's life in Congo if we could. Let's save someone's life in Congo if we could. God has blessed us so that perhaps we can, through our blessing, also save someone's life so that they can survive and also be safe. So we are talking about, this is Kasana. You see him on just close to me. You see this in blue, that's Pastor Baraka. Then I'm in the middle, and then we see Kasana there. And then we were praying for him because he's still in Congo, but we are praying that God protect him, that he comes back safely. So, brothers and sisters, we are serving God together, and we can do it together. We are believing God, if possible, this time, to send at least enough to help many people. As you see there, 100 sanitizer is $250. That's going to help a big number of family, big number of people. And if we can do that, it can also save lives as we give and we save people's life. Very important. With the Ebola, let me explain this just because of time. With the Ebola, children are left orphan, and women are left widow, and men are left widower. So we have also thought of helping at least once, not every time, just once, to help those children who are now have lost their parents and have nothing to do. So we've thought of helping them. A $50 Canadian can get one child monthly medical supply. And $100 can support one child monthly medical and education. And $30 can support three elderly in their daily living. So we are trying to do that, if we could, by God's grace, to help those people who are there. And we are here. We try. We talk with many people. I even talked to Pastor Vic. We say, what are we going to do? We also, because I'm sure you're asking yourself, where did you get that money to send for the sanitizer? I implemented that fundraising website called Give, Send, and Go. And that's where people gave. And for those who are willing also to support, you can either do that and get the tax directly, or you can give through the mission work. You send to the Evangelical Free Church. I hope I didn't cross the... All right. So, we are called to serve God, brothers and sisters. And let me tell you this. The time is now. And God has given us chance to do it. We are healthy. We are strong. We are capable. This is time to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. We find out here there are many ways. Going, sending, serving, praying. There are many ways of serving God. And God is able to use you if you're willing and you are available and you can say, yes, here I am, Lord, use me. So Paul is talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is in us, that we need to use for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, there are many testimonies, many, many testimonies. We don't have time to say this. There are many testimonies that because of people's help, because of people's willingness, because of people's generosity, because of people's capacity of sending, souls have been saved, people have been transformed, and lives have been transformed. Even families have been restored because you have sent someone to bring the good news. So pray for us as well. As usual, we go to Uganda and we bring the good news, and we also train the leaders for the glory of God. May God help us. May God bless you. May God help all of us. May we know, when we discover our calling, our gift, and may we serve God with all our heart and joy, because the day will come when Jesus will say, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful for a few things. Go and enjoy in the kingdom of the Father. Don't anyone despise what you're doing. And don't accept that voice in you to despise that little thing that you can do. It's not little if you do it from your heart. Do it and keep doing it until the Lord comes. We're going to pray. Let us bow our head and pray. Lord, we don't take it for granted that we are alive. We are grateful that you want us to be alive among the living people. Moreover, Lord, we thank you for saving our lives, for showing us the truth. And not only that, thank you for calling us to be part of the kingdom, in serving you, using the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have bestowed upon our lives. Father, I thank you for your beautiful people, this congregation, which has given me time to speak your word. I pray that through this message, one would be encouraged, one would hear and get revived, and that we would together continue to serve you. I pray for that person who was discouraged
that you encourage them today. Those who are, we are trying to give up, Lord, give them strength to continue ahead serving you. As you say in your word, O Lord God, that we'll continue to serve you more and more. So bless every one of us. And above all, Lord, help us for sure to know that we are saved and that we are children of God, that our names are written in the living book. Help us, as we're still on this earth, to redeem the time and to serve you. We thank you for your message. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.